Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And good day to you. It's a gorgeous, actually, I know right now we've got the rain coming down, but we have partly cloudy skies expected to open up to at least mostly sunny on the leeward side of the island. We've got some rain coming down. I'm not seeing those mostly sunny skies yet. Hopefully they'll, you know, the sun will burn it all off and we'll have a gorgeous day in Hawaii. First up in the clubhouse, Robert Lucetich, Fox Sports senior golf analyst and author of Unplayable, an inside account of Tiger's most tumultuous season. First, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Dr. Armand Chong, dentist, the director of the Hawaii TMJ Institute, dental director for 10 senior facilities, the official dentist of the 1990 to 95 Hula Bowl and Aloha Bowl. Dr. Armand Kainoa Chong, a great dentist, 737-3525. And Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Also, Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. And also, Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu.
We are proud to introduce our newest sponsor, Creative Plumbing. Whether you're building a shopping center, a little store, a big store, a custom home, or just a townhouse, you know, nice townhouse, maybe you're in Lanikai, I know someone who could use Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. And that's Creative Plumbing. Okay, let's rock this show with Robert Lucetich, and he is joining us from the west coast of the United States. Fox Sports senior golf analyst and author of Unplayable, an inside account of Tiger's most tumultuous season. Welcome to the show.
Great to be on.
Excellent. I got to tell you, the title of your book, did it come out in 2010?
It came out in, I can't even remember anymore. Yes,
but,
2010.
But I thought,
that's right.
I thought to myself, this is perfect. I mean, it could be any year.
Yes, yeah. Oh, no, yes, that's occurred to me as well. This year especially, by the way, but yeah, so it's an ongoing thing. But I mean, the book, I think, you know, stands up for itself, and even though it was centered around 2009, because that was the decision I took with it prior, obviously, to the scandal, you know, the whole point of it was to say, you know, here's this guy that's been just dominating one sport and is known throughout the world, but we really don't know anything about him. Like, you know, who is the guy? And that was very, very carefully constructed, too, by those around him to have, you know, pretty much a cardboard cutout of this person called Tiger Woods, and it was almost like a cartoon character. And so, you know, I basically, in the book, my goal was to flesh him out. And by the way, for better or for worse, there are some things about Tiger. I think if you read the book, that you know, you'll come away thinking that, you know, he's not a bad guy. But of course, you know, he's human, he's flawed, and you know, that's in there too.
I thought it was very interesting when children, for instance, my grandson is Swiss, English, Japanese, German, and Filipino.
Wow.
Okay, so when you look at all this, who do you identify with? What is your identity? You know, what do you kind of are? If you're Puerto Rican, Chinese, you know, which side do you fall on? And so when you talked about Tiger's ethnic background, and what does he relate to the most?
Well, I think that, you know, what is often sold short is the influence his mother has on him. I, you know, personally, I would actually say that he was, in many ways, more Asian than black. And I think that growing up, that was certainly the case. You know, now that he's, you know, when you hang out with, you know, Ken Griffey and Derek Jeter and Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley, after a while, you sort of get into the vibe of being a black athlete. And so I think there's, you know, Tiger embraced that later in life and in adulthood. But that's also, you know, he changed in that time. I mean, his body changed, his look changed. He was, as Nota Begay referred to him, I can't remember the name of the character now, but, you know, the gooby kid in TV, you know, the black kid.
Yes.
Urkel, you know. So, yeah, sorry, Urkel. So he was very much Urkel as a teenager and changed. And then, you know, as Nike got a hold of him, IMG got a hold of him and started shaping him very much in you know, molding him into a Jordan, Michael Jordan type of a persona. He changed with that. But I still think ultimately, as close as he was to his father, and he was very close to him, his mother has a, you know, huge influence on him. So that tie element is very strong.
Yeah. Now, we're talking with Robert Lucetta. She's Fox Sports senior golf analyst and author of Unplayable, an inside account of Tiger's most tumultuous season. Do you find it fascinating how either people love him or hate him?
I don't know that it's fascinating anymore. It's getting a little old, frankly. But I always have a nice little cackle to myself when I get, you know, emails from people saying that I'm what a suck up I am to Tiger, and then within half an hour I get an email saying, you know, how can I hate him so much? So he is very, very polarizing, and it infuriates people that you're not on one side or the other.
Exactly.
You're supposed to either love him or you hate him. And it's interesting because I think Tiger himself, one of his flaws is this: he has also very sort of an absolute view of the world in that way, where you're either, if you're with him, you're always with him, and if you're not, then you're against him.
And if you're against him, he wants nothing to do with you. You're the enemy, absolute.
Yeah, yes. Pretty much. That's how that goes. And it's so interesting because that is the attitude that is reflected in out there in the world when it comes to him, that people just have such strong opinions.
I think I think the relationship he has with the media has come out into the public. So that animosity that he has when he goes into those interviews with them that are shown all across the world, you can see how much he doesn't like being questioned.
Well, he doesn't like being questioned when he really doesn't like being questioned. But having said that, he's figured out that there are things that he has to accept, and one of them is that he has to speak to the media. It's not his favorite thing to do. But having said that, he is really very, very, he's a pretty smart guy in a lot of ways. And he's figured out that if you take a, you know, pretty sort of harmless and oftentimes, you know, frankly, from my point of view, dumb question, he can talk on that. It's like a filibuster. He will go on and on and on about the most inane stuff in a press conference because he knows he's eating up time. And so this is just less time to get onto substantive stuff. So, he will absolutely, you know, rabbit on. I mean, I remember one time somebody, when you know, Michael Jackson died, someone asked him, you know, what does this mean? I mean, why are you asking Tiger Woods what this means? I mean, who cares what Tiger Woods thinks about Michael Jackson dying? But having said that, he went on and on and on about, you know, Michael set the mold, and you know, yes, when all these other guys followed him. I'm listening to this, thinking, why are we listening to this?
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, so he knows how to, he plays it well, and I know that, you know, I know he has that he finds it very amusing the way that he can play
manipulate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Tiger Woods comes back, and we're watching somebody play terrible golf, And I'm aghast. I talked to a doctor just the other day. She doesn't follow golf that much. She plays a little, but she's not a rabid, every time anyone speaks about anything, sort of absorber of information. She said Tiger Woods' career, even though it's golf, will be a lot shorter than most golfers because of the knee and the back injuries. Now, I think, didn't Hank Haney say the same thing just a few days ago?
Yeah, very much. I mean, this has been, but I think Tiger's also known this. You know, let's not sell him short. I mean, he's not a dumb guy. He's quite a bright guy, and he knew this. If you look at Hank's book, The Big Miss, he says in there that Tiger told him to basically step things up. Everything became very, very hyper focused on the majors around 06, 07, and because there was this idea that, you know, Hank got the idea that Tiger knew his career would be a lot shorter than the rest of us thought. I was thinking about this, you know, just the other day. I was doing a show on Fox Sports 1, and I was asked basically this question. I mean, Tom Watson, well, I forget Tom Watson, Arnold Palmer won a major at 34. Nobody at that time in golf would have thought to themselves, well, Arnold's never winning another major. Of course you would say, you know, oh, yeah, Arnold's going to win plenty more majors. But the fact is he never won another major after the age of 34. Same with Tom Watson. And so, the Nicklaus window was obviously a much larger one because he won his last major at 46. Mm. But I just think that sometimes, you know, maybe I think Tiger probably had the idea that this was going to be harder to do than the rest of us thought.
So that's why he insisted on playing the 08 Open with a damaged leg?
Well, no, that was a little bit different because he had, you know, Steve Williams told me that in all the years that he was with Tiger, and obviously that was many years, but by the way, I just looked this up to let you know. So Arnold Palmer's last major was in the 1964 Masters. After that, he has a T5, a T2, a 2, a T4, a 2, a 2, a 4. Now, this is not in consecutive order.
Right.
Another 2. So he's probably got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 second places after that. Good. Going right into the last one being in 1970. In a third place in 72 U.S. Open. So you can see what I'm trying to say is it looks like, you know, you never think that the guy's actually going to be done winning, but as it turns out, he was. But I'm sorry, I've lost where we were going with that.
No, it's quite all right.
Steve Williams was telling me that in all the years that he was with Tiger, and that included the Tiger Slam, that gap between the 2000 PGA at Valhalla and the 01 Masters, where he was going for the Tiger Slam. And all that time, he hardly mentioned Augusta, you know, at all that year because it was such a big event until it got closer to the Masters. However, as soon as they said that there would be a U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, he talked about it incessantly.
Uh-huh.
Because Torrey Pines is the place where his dad, when he was a kid, took him to see his first tournaments and the first PGA Tour events. And when he was a little kid, he said, one day when you're good enough, I'm going to bring you here to play. And Tiger wanted to play there. And his dad said, no, you're not good enough. And finally, you know, the day came and the two of them went and played Torrey Pines. So it has a very, sentimental value, emotional value for Tiger.
He was winning for his father.
Well, very much.
Yes.
I think so. Yeah,
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And remember, I mean, all of us, as sons, you know, when our fathers die, there's always that element of thinking that you could have done more, you could have been closer with them, and you miss them. And I think Tiger's no exception. And you see, you know, the emotion. If you go back to the 2006 Open at Liverpool, I mean, you know, he wasn't faking that. I mean, he was crying. And on Steve Williams' shoulder, and it was about his father, and his father had just died, and you know, I don't know exactly, you know, how their relationship was in those last few years, but I do know that, you know, his dad was here in Southern California, Tiger was in Florida. I don't think they saw a lot of each other, but you know, whatever, even if they did, the point being that there's something about, you know, your father that's sort of special. And so he was never missing that U.S. Open. And I think, to me, the big difference is, you look at this, I mean, I know he has back surgery this year. It wasn't, by the way, major back surgery. If you ask a doctor, that involves fusing spines. So it was not a major back surgery, but, you know, it's still back surgery. It's still delicate stuff. But nobody, Tiger Woods did not play from the Masters of 08 to the U.S. Open. He then won the U.S. Open. We weren't talking about rust back then. You know, now we're talking about rust. We're talking about building speed and explosiveness. He loves all of this stuff, but the reality is, nobody back then, when Tiger was Tiger, he never talked about rust and being rusty. He went out there and won. And if he didn't win, he gave it a pretty good shake. And I mean, I say this a lot, but from the 07, the most impressive thing to me from the 07 Bridgestone tournament through to that Torrey Pines Open, he played in 12 events. He finished fifth once, second twice, and he won the other nine. And we're just never going to see that again.
It's amazing. It really is. What he did was amazing. And he's a lousy tipper, and a lot of rich people are.
Well, he's not Robinson Crusoe in that.
You know, that's something a lot of people, yeah, he's a lousy tipper. Yeah, and I mean, it's just interesting how that plays out. I'm one of those people. I just can't condemn somebody. I'm not in their shoes. I have absolutely no idea what's going on in their life. And from, it's just interesting watching all of this from outside in a way, and trying to be on the inside. I think he came back too soon. I even think December, when he plans to come back for his event, is too soon. I think he should just wait. I really do. The stronger his body gets in recovery, it may not have been a very serious back surgery, but it nevertheless, he needs to work on his swing. I don't think he's I don't think he's ready to play. I don't think he's, Sean Foley and him are working well together. I don't understand why.
I mean, definitely. Look, you're not the only person that thinks that. And I just saw, you know, this past week that, you know, Butch Harmon reacted to reports that he and Tiger may be getting back together, and basically saying that wasn't true. And I've got to tell you, I mean, the irony of all of that is Butch was actually, to this day, has never actually been fired as Tiger's coach, because Tiger just didn't fire him. He just stopped talking to him, which is again, that's a classic Tiger thing. You just get shut out, and that was, and then it just happens one day. You're as my friend and colleague Ron Syrak said, it was covering Tiger is like covering the old Kremlin. You just got to like read the tea leaves and see where people are standing at the parades, and because nothing's ever released, nobody ever says anything about what's happening. But Butch, you know, Butch was never actually fired. He just didn't get phone calls anymore and text messages. So, but having said that, I am surprised that it's taken this long with Sean Foley. Now, bear in mind, Tiger won five times last year, so nobody was really complaining.
This is true, but he seems to be very off. I don't know what it is, and it would be interesting to have Bradel Chambly.
Well,
isn't it fun? Yes. Let's talk. I want to ask you about Fox Sports doing all of the USGA events before we wrap, and we need to talk some more because there's so much I wanted to cover with you. The USGA, you must be excited. You're going to be doing the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay.
Yeah, very excited. I mean, it's something that you know, the nature of sports television these days is you know, you need to have events. People want to watch live events happening. We had the opportunity to you know, bid on the USGA events, and you know, we made an attractive bid, and the USGA liked it. And I think the fact that, you know, that we don't have other golf events like, you know, for instance, NBC. The USGA likes that because, you know, I think they feel that this is going to be a great partnership because, you know, we are going to be their network in a sense. You know, we're their television partner. So there's a lot of opportunity there. You know, I think Chambers Bay is going to be an interesting place. I mean, I don't know a lot about it. I saw the USAM that was there a few years ago. actually know a couple of guys that I play with who were in that USM, and one of them shot 88, the other one shot 91, and I can tell you these guys are, plus handicaps. So obviously they can set that place up to be pretty nasty. So it'll be very, very interesting, and it'll be exciting, I think. Things like the U.S. Amateur, I think, will be, not degrading how it's being shown now, but I think it'll be, for us, it's very exciting to take a classic event like that and really sort of present a modern face to it.
I'm looking forward to it. I just came back from Chambers Bay. It is a tough golf course. It is hard to walk it. It's going to be interesting to see how tired they are by Sunday. And yeah. I love where they're positioning the tower for the broadcast booth. It's in a perfect place. It's this fabulous arena. It's going to be a completely different experience for everyone involved, spectators, players, and for the will you be there doing some announcing?
Oh, I will be. I'll be definitely there. No, well, we have obviously Greg Norman will be in the booth with Joe Buck.
Yes.
So that'll be that's just an excellent team there. I was
You're great on television. I'm looking forward to talking to you. Robert Lucetich, Fox Sports senior golf analyst, author of Unplayable, an inside account of Tiger's most tumultuous season. Great to talk with. I hope you'll be back on the show.
You got it. Thanks very much, Danielle.
Thank you very much. We'll be back with Matt Janella right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why we designed the new Acura MDX just for you. With features like Jewel-Eye LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with 3 separate performance settings to meet your mood. One-touch walk-in for simple one-button access in and out of the third row. And available AcuraLink surface street traffic information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. Maybe it's called the beaten path, because it can be beaten. Introducing the new 2014 Acura MDX. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit our Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
My friend Michael Patrick Shields and his fiancée are on Kauai. I believe they're going to be playing the Kauai Lagoons today. It's Wine and Nine. They'll be at Poipu Bay at 9 o'clock in the morning. That'll be Monday. And if you want to play today at Poipu Bay, there's an 8:30, a 9:10, a 10:20, and the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. All you kids, may you hit the sweet spot every time and have a blast. Matt Janella, his life is a blast. He's the travel editor for Golf Channel. He covers courses. He covers resorts. He's fabulous. Welcome to the show, Matty G.
Thanks again for having me, Danielle. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Okay, so we've got Bandon Dunes. We've got your top five Donald Ross courses that you love, and of course Pinehurst number 2 at the top of that list. And I can't help but ask you about your trip to Scotland and the 81-foot putt you sank.
I did. For a bogey.
Well, yeah,
17th hole, 17th hole, road hole, getting dark. I mean, it was actually dark at that point. I knocked the first tee shot into the jiggers in to the right of that little rock wall. Had to hit another off the tee, you know, chunked my 9-iron to the front of the green. Didn't even really make the green, but I putt from off the front of the green to a pin in the back left green location. And on camera, you'll see it in an upcoming segment of Janela's Journeys as we lead up to the Ryder Cup at Glen Eagles. It goes in. Disappeared. Low round of my year by far. 73 at the Old Course on the 4th of July.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Now,
you're the only one who actually really cares, Danielle. I appreciate you pretending to care.
No, I don't pretend anything. It's not in my nature. Okay. But you have managed to give all of us, 94% of us who play golf and play golf just because we like the game. If we followed the rules, we'd never get off the golf course. We'd be lost somewhere, okay? You have legitimized our attempts to play golf by bringing together with, I guess, you and, was it Matty G and Charlie Reimer putting together the relaxed rules of golf to help make it more fun?
Yeah, I mean, we have we had a bit of a sort of a task force internally at Golf Channel, and Charlie and I definitely feel passionately about this series that we unveiled on Morning Drive this week about a relaxed set of rules. The original set of rules fit on one piece of paper. It's hanging in the R&A clubhouse. I think it was 13 rules back in 1744. And some point along the way, the rule book, the USGA rule book, is now up over 200 pages.
Yeah, that's not even the decisions. Yeah, that's not.
That's not even the decisions, which is, you know, another thick and dense book of words. But you know, this relaxed set of rules does fit on a bag tag, and we're going to be distributing those accordingly. And it just, there needed to be a middle ground between what is the official rules of golf that should be played, in a competitive manner when the game is played competitively amongst the elite players of the game. Yeah, go ahead. Use the rules of golf. Absolutely. And if you can learn them and get to know them, even better. But for the beginners and the casual golfers, the people who are going out amongst their foursomes and aren't really, looking to play OB as it is stroke and distance, looking 5 minutes to look for a lost ball, that's too long. Having to go back to tees, trying to figure out all the different colored stakes, red and yellow and white and blue. You lose a ball, nearest point of where you lost it, drop and play on. If you cross a water hazard, whether it's red or yellow, you know, where it crossed, drop and move on. If your playing partner says, hey, that putt's good, pick it up and move on. He said it's good. That's what my dad always used to say. There's two kind of fools in golf, the people who give putts and the other people who don't take them. You know, take them. He gave it to you. Move on.
I'm laughing because I've been begging for this for years. I mean, all of us who play on a regular basis with our friends, we've been playing like this and feeling guilty. Like there's somebody going to come out of the bushes from the USGA and just nail us to
a blow dart in your net. You know, they're going to hit you with a blow dart and you're going to go down. They're going to cart you off and sort of turn you loose back into the wild, you know.
And I remember my girlfriend say, what's the rule? What am I supposed to do? I'm like, come on, you know, seriously.
Relaxed rule number 7 is my favorite. Use common sense. You know, I just, your ball moves on the putting green because the wind blows. Oh, my God, now what do I do? I grounded my putter behind it. Stop it. Relax.
move the ball back and hit the putt. Let's go. Like, stop. You know what I mean? Like, yes. Enough is enough. Enough is enough.
Maximum score is number one. Double par, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, even on a par five, as Gary Williams pointed out, that even sounds a little ridiculous. Like, maybe maximum score is eight. Like, you know, maybe that's enough. It's enough.
Why torture yourself any further just to try to get up to that place? Yes?
Okay. Yeah, you know, like, what are you putting for? An 11. Like, stop it. What are you out of your mind? Jesus.
Yeah, and if you're with somebody who's obsessive compulsive, then you just have to be very patient.
Well, no, if you're with somebody obsessive compulsive, find a new playing partner. Like, let them go that somewhere else. You know, and play, and get out in the group ahead of them so you don't have to play behind them.
There you go. And number two is penalties. This is a beauty. I love this one. All are one stroke, including out of bounds, water, lateral, lost ball, unplayable, drop a ball near where the original ball was lost and play on, just as you said. Search time, 2 minutes. That's it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's enough.
That's enough. Unfortunate lies with your playing partner's consent. Balls may be dropped out of divots or footprints.
So one of my favorite, like, divots. I mean, you finally pump a drive 310 yards down the fairway. Like, yeah, right. I've never do that. But when you do that, and then you're up there and you're in a divot, and you got to play it. It's like, what? No, actually, I'll just kind of roll it out of the divot, and I will take. You know, I'll feel good about the tee shot I hit, and I'll try to hit the green. How about on a tree root? You know, nope, got to play it off that tree root. No, actually, you don't. Just move it off the root, hit it, and let's go.
Oh, so how can we get this for our bag?
They'll be out next week. They'll be sending them everywhere. They're going to be everywhere. If you want one of these, you're gonna find it.
Okay.
We'll it
okay. Good. Because you know, yes, I want one. I want to
watch the show. Watch the show. We'll inform you accordingly.
Okay. So I'll stand by next to my television set. Now, Matty G is Matt Janella, travel editor for Golf Channel. He covers golf courses, resorts, and he's a lover of golf. You also like to do special series. I mean, there's a depth to Matty G that we don't see all the time when he's talking about the wonderful golf courses he plays. It seems all very, gee, isn't he having a wonderful time, but he's got such soul. Is there a special that you're working on that you get to tell us a little bit about?
I've got, on the recent in play with Jimmy Roberts, I did a profile of Ted Bishop, the 38th president of PGA of America. And I got to spend time with him, not only recapping what has been a pretty impressive run as president of one of the tentpoles of golf. And I think he brought that organization and the 27,000 members, he sort of brought them back to prominence, gave them a voice again in his stance against the USGA and the RNA on the proposed anchored putting ban, the anchored stroke. And he also, you know, he's done a lot of, you know, including naming Tom Watson as the Ryder Cup captain. He's partnered, really aligned the PGA of America back with PGA Tour, struck up a friendship with Tim Fincham, and I think that helps the PGA of America and helps that membership. He sort of modified and brought back a women's major under sort of the PGA of America umbrella. He brought a PGA of America to Harding Park, which is a club in San Francisco that the PGA Tour manages. He gave Donald Trump the polarizing Donald Trump a major championship. But you know, in doing so and all that he's done, it's been very impressive. But I really enjoyed getting to know Ted Bishop, the course owner in Franklin, Indiana, Middle America. He's admitted to me, you know, he had to file Chapter 11 at one point, got out over the tips of his skis, didn't anticipate all the competition, you know, popping up nearby. And like many course owners all across the country, he's trying to make things work with, he's got 45 holes and he's got a short course and, you know, 27 championship holes. And he's trying things, including foot golf, or a lot of alternative versions, charging by the minute instead of by the hole. It's interesting to see him, at, you know, as a guy who stands there, answers the phone behind the register, takes takes the cash from his customers. It'll be interesting to see what he's learned from being president and all the relationships he's made and all the experience he's had and the insight into the game he's had and what he brings back to Franklin, Indiana to try and make that a viable business model.
He's a great man. I thoroughly enjoyed talking to him when he was on the show. Wonderful person. I'm looking forward to having him on. I'd like to do something like what you've done with him, is talk about what his accomplishments and where he'd like to see the PGA of America go from here, because he's really steered the ship, righted it, and given, as you said, a voice to all of the 28,000 PGA professionals. You brought up Donald Trump. And we're talking with Matt Janella, the travel editor for Golf Channel. Donald Trump, I don't trust Donald Trump. And when I found out that he bought Turnberry, I was scared. I thought, oh, my goodness. I mean, here's a golf course that is iconic. It's beautiful. And it somehow Trumpifying Turnberry just makes my stomach turn. Now, you get to talk to this person. What do you expect him to do with Turnberry?
I expect him to make changes to at least three of the holes. He talked me through the changes of that he will be looking to do to 9, 10, and 11. Just take put a lot of money into the hotel itself, which could use a facelift. You know, I know what you're saying about Donald Trump, and my position on him and his place in the world of golf is he's not going anywhere. I look at it as, given where I am in the game and how I cover the game, I look to it as an opportunity to kind of get to know him and try to help educate him as to what the true consumers of the game are looking for. He generally caters to that very, very a rich golfer, you know, Trump International, Turnberry, Dunebag, purchase of Dunebag. A lot of his courses in America are mostly private. The public accessible are going to be too expensive for the general public. So I don't, you know, although he's in the game of golf, I don't really need to worry about him in terms of the general golf consumer. He's not coming into contact. Doral is over $400 to play. I mean, mm-hmm. That's just that. I just would never pay that to play that golf course. You got planes landing on top of you. He'll tell you the planes landing on top of you are actually interesting. Make it more of an exciting, you know. And it's like, that's, you know, he is who he is. But I think that I like getting to know him. I like hearing his perspectives, and I like trying to help him connect with what are the real golfers. He's not doing waterfalls anymore. I think he gets it. He's trying to hire the Gil Hanses. He tried to hire Corin Crenshaw to build the second course, to redo the second course at Turnberry.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to be available to him. But, you know, he's starting to realize, you know, I need to pay attention here. He is in a business. He is in the golf business. And if people don't pay to play his courses, he'll have to make adjustments to green fees or the people he works with.
Okay.
And so it'll all play out I for a positive. I believe that. The good news is he's pumping a lot of money into the game.
Okay. Matt Janella is the travel editor for Golf Channel. He is also a special contributor to Golf Advisor. And if you watch Morning Drive on Golf Channel, you'll see everything that Matt Janella gets to do. Not just play the game on these fabulous courses, but discover everything around them. And I love what you've done with Bandon Dunes' Top 10 Questions Asked. It's at Golf Advisor. You can find out. It was perfect, Matt, when you did the weather, what to pack, how to get there, lodging, the golf courses. I frankly, when I was asked to vote on which one I liked the most, I went with Bandon Preserve.
It's the par 3, 13-hole par 3 short course designed by Bill Corr and Ben Crenshaw. It's a very popular experience there at the number one golf destination in America. And a lot of people would feel the same way you do.
Well, it seemed like I could actually do that. You know, and then you talk about how when I was at Chambers Bay, it's hot. it's a hot, hot place to, you know, to play. I was so happy to go to Salish Cliffs where there were some trees. It's like, oh, there's some shade. Yeah. And so you can find all of this time management, what courses to play, how you're going to experience some caddies, food, off course, off property. And as Maginella, what did you say about going off property when you get to Bandon Dunes?
Yeah. If you get to Bandon Dunes and you're the type of person who's looking to get off property, you're not on my buddy's trip. Like you're out forever. I mean, I can't imagine if I ever left property, I would get the shakes and the itches, and I would just it's not part of the experience. You hunker down there, and there's so much golf. There's so much, and they added that punch bowl green. It's a massive putting course with all the kinds of fun, you know, slopes and swales, and they got, you know, drink service out there and little cup holders while you're hitting your putts. And all you do when you're out there is you hear people laughing, cheering, jeering, you know, pressing bets, exchanging money. It's a blast, and it's free.
It's wonderful. This is Matt Ginella. You've got to follow him on Twitter at Matt Ginella. GC, that's for Golf Channel. That's where he works. He's the travel editor, and he's on Morning Drive. I know it's early for folks in Hawaii, but DVR it. You'll enjoy it. Thank you so much, Matt Ginella, for being on the show.
Like I said, always a pleasure, Danielle, and hope to see you in Hawaii. I'll be back there this Christmas to see my brother and family on the North Shore. I'm looking forward to it.
Lunch. Lunch, yes, at Lele's.
Lunch and then that Wine and Nine you were talking about. I don't know where that is, but let's go do our own version of
it. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for being on the show, Matt.
Take care. Talk to you soon.
Aloha. Travel safe. We'll be back right after this. We're talking Ripped Links. That's right. It's coming to Vancouver in September. Ripped Links. Right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Dr. Armin Chong, DDS, is proud to announce the opening of his new state-of-the-art dental offices at 3660 Waialae in Kailuki. For more than 20 years, the skilled hands of Dr. Armin Chong and his caring staff have served Hawaii. Call Dr. Chong, 737-2865. Validated covered parking. Insurance accepted. The first step to dental relief is Dr. Armin Chong, 737-2865. Whether it's you, my parents, or my friends, it's Dr. Chong for all your dental needs. Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay. Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Uh-huh. Kauai Lagoon's Wine and Nine. That's where Michael Patrick Shields is going to be today. So say hi for me, okay? Because he and his fiance, or maybe you shouldn't, because he and his fiance are spending the week on Kauai, experiencing the Kauai Marriott, the Grand Hyatt, the St. Regis. And of course, he's playing over at Kauai Lagoons, Puakea, Poipu Bay, and the Prince Course. Mm-mm. Well, they're going to play the front nine and tour the back. I think that's a smart thing to do. First off, now, let's go to Vancouver. Colin Weston's calling in. As I said, I think on Twitter, something to the effect of, Ripped Links in Vancouver this September, bringing you Golf Fast and Furious with a little sex appeal. Welcome to the show, Colin.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you today?
Excellent, sir. I noticed some of the young ladies who've signed up. Maggie Noel, Megan Harden, Melissa Mabanta. I need to have some of these ladies and Zach Griffiths, Foxy.
The ladies think so, yes.
Exactly. Now, Ripped Links is all about getting golf I talked about arena at Chambers Bay, because the way the whole it's set into this old quarry. So it has this, these natural walls around it. And there are 11 holes that you really won't be able to walk through it. You'll have to sit above in this mile-long walkway and look down upon everything. And that's kind of what Ripped Links is all about, except it's the long drive competition made into, and I think of it as the short game competition, speedy short game competition.
That's a good way to phrase it. The other thing we like to say too is, so people can understand, it's the 16th hole at the Phoenix Open, at the Coliseum there. We take that and actually put that on steroids, really ramp it up, and then add an action sport vibe and atmosphere to that, along with a bit of a music festival thrown in. So we kind of got all those pieces kind of mixed into the experience of what we're doing here. So yes, it's take the 16th at Phoenix and multiply it by 10. And that's what we have with Rip Links all the time.
And you've got 18 to 36 year olds, men and women, competing against one another.
That's correct. That's one of the kind of strongest elements and most positive feedback that we've received on Rip Links is the fact that these are three par three holes that three competitors play against each other, and there's no 320-yard drives required here. So strength and power is taken out of the equation. So we have half our field as women, half our field as men, and there's no separate division. They play head-to-head, straight up, which, of course, Maggie and Megan and Melissa all love, and as you can see from the imagery that we posted on Twitter and I sent you, Danielle, they're very easy on the eyes, but they can flat out play.
Yeah.
All of them are, they can play, and they are competitive, and they want to kick some butt. They want to send the boys home packing, and they're ready to do it.
This is Ripped Links Vancouver launch event. Now, the way the opening rounds work, there's session A, session B, session C. There's three players in each of these groups. The winner from each group moves on into the final round, and then you work on the tournament champion. Is that it?
You've nailed it. That's the way it works. So because, of course, what we're putting together here is not just a live event, but it's also we're looking to package this as a broadcast event. We're talking to some partners right now. We can't kind of reveal that at the moment because we're still in negotiation. But that's what we're looking at afterwards, whether it's a one-hour show and eventually do this live. Is the plan, because we've got the gameplay down that for the semifinals, those three groups that you saw of nine players in the final, it takes about 3 hours, which seems like kind of a sweet spot for professional sports, whether it's an NBA game, Major League Baseball, NFL game. It's usually about 3 hours, and that's what fans like to enjoy as a live experience and also as a broadcast experience. So that's what we're doing to shorten it.
It's awesome. It's all outdoors. There's music going on at the same time. Everyone's enjoying a beverage of choice and
yes,
watching the competition. At one point you were talking about, which of course was just amazing, moving people from one shot to the next on a zip line, but you're going to use golf boards this time.
We are. We're just finalizing the deal with golf boards of getting them out there, because the cultural alignment on that is just fantastic. Once again, we're not having players doing anything silly like hitting balls off the golf board or that. This is flat out competitive golf at a very elite level. And we're very serious about that, maintaining the kind of the essence of golf and just embedding everything else with that action sport experience into that. So with the zip lines, we are still looking to have that, and we're very enthusiastic about that. But we took a very hard look at this, put on our project management hats and our accounting hats here, and making a budget. And right now, for the first event, it's the logistics just don't quite work, and also the expense. So with Vancouver, it really is our proof of concept, our test, our prototype, our beta, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
It's our first event because we've had so many people in the golf industry and potential partners say to us, like, how many events have you had? And of course we say, well, none yet. And they say, well, when you haven't won? And we say, well, sometime soon. So that wasn't a call to action that really built a lot of confidence. So we realized, as entrepreneurs, with Philip Davis, who you've also spoke to on your show, and myself, just said we have to have our first event, and we're from Vancouver, even though we spend most of our time in the States these days, of course, promoting RipLinks for our tour that we're looking to launch later next year. But we said, you know, this is our own backyard. We live here. This is where we have all the connections and the relationships. Let's just make this happen in Vancouver as our first event, and that's what we're doing on September 7th.
It's RipLinks Golf Competition, a non-traditional golf competition with concert festival environment, the first ever in Vancouver at Redwoods Golf Course in Langley. And this is also the last day. You've got the Indiegogo campaign. They have the funds to do this on the basic level. But the Indiegogo campaign is just to kind of ramp it up a little bit more, put a little charge into it so that you can do a little bit extra special stuff with it. Indiegogo is a crowdfunding campaign, so you can get behind whether it's a product or an event, something, make it happen, be a part of it. And when you go to Indiegogo and make a, you know, donation to the event, you'll get something. And there's lots of packages you can choose from. And I'm going to go there because today's the last day. I'm going to go and make mine because I think this is a fabulous idea to get, you know, get it moving. It's always nice to watch a golf event and everybody's very quiet. Is this a golf voice? Am I doing the golf voice? I'm not sure if this is a golf voice. But you know what I'm saying. This is going to be fun.
That's the plan. And I think I sent you the images also of our signs that we have, because as you said, with your quiet golf voice.
There, louder, louder, louder.
That's right. No, we won't have the signs up saying, quiet, please, on the tee. As you've seen there, we've already made a couple of dozen of these, and they're so we've taken them out to the golf course and started giving them away as a promotional effort. But that's what we'll have. We'll have people up there holding up these signs, saying louder, and ramping up the music, ramping up the noise level, and the players just have to contend. And we have no problem with that. We look at Major League Baseball. If hitters from 60 feet away can hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball with 50,000 people screaming at them, our players will do just fine in this. So we're not worried about that heightened level of noise.
No, they're going to have fun with it. How do we get to the Indiegogo site?
The easiest way to do it, Danielle, is just go to the RipLinks site, to keep it nice and simple. So www.riplinks, RIPPEDLINKS, riplinks.com. And right from there on the homepage now, you can just click right through.
Excellent.
So as you mentioned, any contribution people can make will just make this event even better. And like I said, we've got lots of perks out there between hats and t-shirts, or even we'll send you some louder signs if you like those, or some stickers for your snowboard or your skateboard or whatever you would like. We have all kinds of stuff on there.
That's excellent. Colin Weston, Ripped Links, and this is September 7th in Vancouver. That'd be a fabulous trip. I mean, it's the perfect month to see the leaves start turning colors. Don't they start in Vancouver around that time?
They do. It is an amazing month, and we chose that because, as most people may know, that it's a little rainy here, but just like Seattle. But August and September are the best months. It's usually around about 70, you know, low 70s. It's sunny almost every single day, kind of knocking on wood here, because it may rain, you never know. And if it does, we'll still play through, that's okay. But the weather's beautiful, you got the mountains here, you've got the ocean, you've got everything. So it's even though the islands there are beautiful, Vancouver is quite stunning itself.
Absolutely. Maggie Noel, Megan Harden, Melissa Mambada, and Zach Griffiths have all signed up. I really am serious. I'd like to talk with them about Ripped Links, and you've got three more announcements to make. This is going to be fun. I hope you let me know so I can have them on the air. Ripped Links, thanks so much, Colin Weston.
It's been my pleasure. Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to talk next with Ron Reed. On Twitter, he's at Golf Dinosaur. He was one of the men behind Chambers Bay. You get the point? I really enjoyed my stay at Chambers Bay, at Salish Cliffs, and at Little Creek Casino. We'll be right back. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
When the outside world grows too intrusive, it's nice to know you can escape to one that's all your own. Like the one you'll find inside the Acura RDX. With over 38 inches of rear legroom and over 76 cubic feet of cargo space, the interior of the RDX is designed to be your personal sanctuary. The RDX also features perforated leather trim seating surfaces that provide maximum comfort to every passenger, gripping them through accelerated turns. Immaculately designed and tailored to fit the human form, the Acura RDX interior was named one of Ward's 10 best. The 2014 Acura RDX. Create your own space in the world. Acura reminds you to properly secure items stowed in cargo area.
Be sure to come visit our Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star, Star Protection Agency.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, and RadioGolfClub.com all the time, live or archived in the clubhouse now. Ron Reed. He was with the North Carolina Golf Association until 81, then with the USGA until 2013, co-founder of GolfTraditions.com. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Danielle, thank you so much. That was Northern California Golf Association here at Pebble Beach, but just a minor point.
Yes, sir. I apologize. So tell me, how did you become instrumental in getting Chambers Bay acknowledged as the kind of course that the USGA would want to have the U.S. Open held at?
Danielle, call me Lewis and Clark. I represented the USGA for almost 32 years, even in Hawaii. I've spent a lot of time there. And all the way to Texas, Alaska to Texas. So the U.S. Open had never been held, ever, in the Pacific Northwest. And so I, in my travels, I looked at a number of sites, from Pumpkin Ridge, and I was on property at Bandon Dunes with David Kidd in his first days of designing that golf course, and just dreaming and looking for an ideal U.S. Open site. And in about 2004, Robert Trent Jones Jr., my friend, called me and he said, there's a piece of property up here near Tacoma I'd like you to have a look at. So John Ladenburg was the county executive and the visionary. He hired Jones, and they called me in there, and I took a look, and I said, my goodness, this is 940 acres of lynx-like sand dunes overlooking the beautiful bay, looking back at the Olympic Mountains. Let's build a golf course that can hold the U.S. Open. And that was John Ladenburg's dream, and it's fun 10 years later to look back, and I read this morning where they're almost sold out in tickets in the first U.S. Open ever in the Pacific Northwest.
Absolutely. When Larry Gilhooly was on last week, he told me Saturday and Sunday sold out. You better get your tickets for Thursday, or if you're lucky, maybe practice rounds.
Well, it's going to be a sight to see. I envision the Ridge looking like the Indianapolis 500 down the straightaway. It's going to be an immense crowd, I think exceeding Beth Page in New York in terms of attendance.
It's a fabulous venue.
I'm excited.
Yes, I am too. It's a fabulous venue. I enjoyed playing the course. It certainly was much too difficult for me to actually play by USGA rules. So I played by relaxed rules of golf. I hope, you know, you understand that I did not submit a score given that. I enjoyed the idea of seeing where Mr. Gilhooly showed me where the Fox broadcast booth is going to be. And it is in such a perfect location to overlook the sound, the Puget Sound. And then on the other side, you see the old quarry walls that, of course, aren't a quarry wall anymore because of the beautiful work that Robert Trent Jones Jr. did. But then you see the walkway, the mile walkway above that you're talking about, right, where the spectators will be up there and it's wide enough and it's just, it's going to be something that no one has ever experienced before. Having those 11 holes laid out in front of you, and you'll be able to just watch everything. It's like, it's like an arena. It's almost like the Roman Colosseum.
You're excited. I am too. I think it will be absolutely sensational. And the Pacific Northwest is a dreamland of golf. You know, they get as excited as you just did and as they do in Hawaii over the game of golf. So I'm tremendously excited to have it go there.
Wonderful. Now, with golftraditions.com, tell us a bit, you know, after working with the USGA and the Northern California Golf Association for as long as you have, you have Golf Traditions where you write. But you're also very much into growing the game with young people, from what I understand.
Well, I am. I'm deeply involved. Well, I was involved in a program called the First Green Program of Washington, which is to introduce kids in schools to the game of golf, not necessarily by playing, but using a golf course as a laboratory for science classes. And working with the golf course superintendents, who will then visit the golf course, and they get to see the environmental side of the game. So I'm excited about programs like that, and I'm serve on the board of the Youth on Course program here in Northern California, which has grown to Southern Cal, Oregon, and Washington. And it's a program to give kids actual playing access. Now, the First Tee does a great job in putting clubs in kids' hands and getting them lessons and so on. Our program, you might think of it as graduate school. It lets them play. It gives them job opportunities. It gives them opportunities for scholarships. And we're excited to see this program grow all over the country.
So Youth on Course isn't in competition with the First Tee program?
Not at all. We are hand in hand.
Excellent. And when you talk about Youth on Course, the golf courses are instrumental in making it all possible. From what I understand, the amount of money that a child needs to pay to play is very affordable.
Well, you've done your homework, and that's nice. Thank you. What we ask golf courses to do is to reduce the rate, to let the kids play off time, and then we raise money to help subsidize their play. So the kids aren't playing for free, but they might be paying $3 or $5 to play a game of golf on a very nice golf course that you and I would pay considerably more. So we give them that chance to actually go play, and the golf courses are very kind in giving up their facilities.
Wow, that it would be nice if we could have something like that in the islands. You've spent a considerable amount of time here, as you said. When you came, which was your favorite island?
Oh, Danielle, I love them all. I really do. The last time I was there, I was on Kauai, and I love Kauai. I've been there for several pub links at Wailua, and I played, I can hardly say the name of the golf course, Kukuiula.
Oh, yes.
I love Kukui'ula and the Chris the Prince up in Princeville. And by the way, Robert Trent Jones, the architect, is going to be over there soon, and maybe you should talk with him. But
I would love to talk with Robert Trent Jones Jr. He's been on the show before, but the last time when he redid Prince Course, he was on such an incredibly hectic schedule. It was difficult to be able to get an appointment with him. I talked to his son about that. But
Trent.
Yes. We'll have to, I would really like to have him on the show again because he's changed in a way. You know, he's kind of got a different philosophy about, and I think a lot of architects have adopted one that I really like because I love just taking the earth the way it comes and doing what you can to make a golf course, kind of the way golf was played. By the same token, I understand that Americans and people in the United States they've been trained to think that golf is played on a very green surface. It's not their fault. It's not their fault.
No, you're right. And, of course, we all watch Augusta National in April, and we see beautiful, immaculately prepared golf courses. And the U.S. Open golf course, you know, it's taking 5 years to prepare it. Of course, it's not going to be green. I promise you that.
No.
It's Chambers Bay.
No,
it'll be yellow.
It's beautiful, though. It's beautiful in its yellowness.
Well, I saw a picture this week of Chambers Bay that is among the most beautiful photographs I've ever seen on anything, and you don't see a lot of green grass. So it will be a new experience for visually on television as well as for the golfers.
Yeah. Are you going to be officiating? Do you still do that?
No, I'm, you know, with that, the organization, when you're in, you're in, and when you're out, you're out. I'm sure that I'll find a way to be there, but no, I don't plan to officiate.
Oh, okay. Because, I mean, with someone with the wealth of your knowledge and experience, it seems that you must do some, you know.
I am still doing quite a bit of officiating for the Women's Amateur of California and a number of events. I'm actually going to Florida to officiate in October. So
excellent.
I still love to volunteer. That's the foundation of the game as far as I'm concerned, those volunteers that give so much.
Yeah. I mean, you have to travel. You have to pay for your way. You've got to pay to stay. And then, you know, feed yourself. If you're lucky, they'll feed you something when you're on the course, but they can't feed you breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I don't think.
Well, no, they're treated differently than the press.
Yeah, we didn't have dinner either. Now, the first green, before I let you go, the first green program fascinates me. So you get kids involved on the golf course in a science environment.
Yes.
In conjunction with schools?
Yes, we enlist the science teachers who partner with the golf course superintendent, who bring the kids to high school and younger to golf courses across the West so far, and I think the program will go national. The USGA has put money into it. Chevron Corporation is now partnering to help expand the program, and I think you'll see it everywhere. Why not? It gives kids an opportunity to see that golf courses really are good for the environment. And it's one of the finest programs I've seen in a lot of years.
So this is the golf course superintendent. I love the Golf Course Superintendents Association. And part of, see, I'm trying to find out, I need to get in touch with our local golf course superintendent association to see if the first green program is happening in Hawaii so that, I need to follow up on this. This is,
if not, I'll help you.
Thank you. I would very much appreciate that.
Yep.
Did you play golf on Oahu?
I love playing it. I've been lucky to play Wailai among others. Ko'olau. I was among the first to play Ko'olau.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, I'm proud of the fact if you go there, you probably have the Ko'olau Challenge. That is making a par on the 18th hole, and I think I probably had something to do with that.
Wow. Everybody says this. How many balls did you lose?
I, now,
I'm sorry, it's just...
Since you're laughing, I played it 2 days in a row. The second day, I went back with a bag of balls, and I couldn't make a par. And this is a true story. A year later, Scott Simpson walked into the U.S. Open, and he walked up, and he didn't even say hello. He said, you owe me $10. I said, well, why is that? He says, I made a par in 18. So the word had already spread, and the U.S. Open champ... it was easy to him. He made four.
Oh, that's one. See?
Maybe you're not... But I was proud to go back a few years later with Mary B. Porter King.
I love Mary B. She's on the show all the time.
She's the best. Yeah. And we walked into the golf shop, and there it was. Win a golf bag, a Ko'olau golf bag, for the Ko'olau Challenge. So I had left a mark in the state of Hawaii. Well, I love golf there.
I hope you'll be on the show again.
You're kind. Thank you so much, and I'll chat with you later about some other things.
Oh,
thank
goody,
you.
Goody. And Ron Cyrak says hi.
Good. Thank you so much. Best to him, too. Thanks,
thank
Danielle.
You. Thank Bye. You. Aloha. We'll be back right after this. We have some Bridgestone lady precepts. Maybe you want to start calling now. If you're the ninth caller, you could win those Bridgestone lady precepts. See, what we're doing is we're celebrating the Wegmans LPGA Championship, and we'll be talking with Ron Cyrak about that right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
Dr. Armin Chong, DDS, is proud to announce the opening of his new state-of-the-art dental offices at 3660 Waialae in Kaimuki. For more than 20 years, the skilled hands of Dr. Armin Chong and his caring staff have served Hawaii. Call Dr. Chong, 737-2865. Validated covered parking. Insurance accepted. The first step to dental relief is Dr. Armin Chong, 737-2865. Whether it's you, my parents, or my friends, it's Dr. Chong for all your dental needs.
It's The Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
And the number to win those, I feel like a rotten person, you know, win lady precepts, but I don't give out the number. It's 808-296-5467. That's 808-296-5467. Be the ninth caller. Those lady precepts going to you. Hey, guys, they work. Really good for you, too. In fact, you probably should check out ladies' golf balls. It's nice to play with them, you'll find. Ron Cyrak is joining us. He is the executive editor of Golf World, senior writer, Golf Digest, author of the Vision 54 Trilogy. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Thanks for having me on, Danielle. My pleasure.
Absolutely. The LPGA, the Wegmans LPGA Championship is underway. We may have the youngest person ever, men or woman, a man or woman, to win a major championship if Lydia Ko keeps playing the way she's playing.
Yeah, you know, when you're going after a record set by young Tom Morris in the 1860s, you know it's pretty special.
That's what I thought. I'm thinking, my goodness, girl, how low can you go? She's just pretty amazing. But
I'll tell you, it's an indication, too, of just the kind of role the LPGA's been on this year. It just seems like every week they have a great leaderboard and great storylines out there.
Yeah, Brittany Lincecum, NB Park, Lexi Thompson, Jane Park, Lydia Ko, Mina Lee, Caroline Masson. We have such a wonderful leaderboard. Suzanne Paterson is there. It's just amazing. But let me ask you this. Wegmans LPGA Championship. Has this event been played in Rochester for 38 years?
Yeah, and it's really one of the favorite stops for the players, for the caddies. It's been wildly supported by the fans up there for its entire run. And look, when the McDonald's left as the sponsor of the LPGA Championship, Wegmans really stepped in and saved one of the flagship events for the tour by taking it over as a major up there. And it's going to be sad that the tournament won't return there next year. But I'll tell you what, I have a feeling that the LPGA is not done with Rochester. I have a feeling that they may pop up there again sometime.
That would be nice because Rochester, as you said, being, you know, so embracing and so supportive with all of the charity events that happen there, the way the LPGA gives back and all of the people who volunteer their time, it would be such a shame for that to be just gone. Now, what about Wegmans? They're no longer a title sponsor. So how is the LPGA Championship going to continue and where is it going to be played?
Well, it's actually a pretty exciting thing, a little bit controversial, but the LPGA Championship is now going to become, which is the second longest running women's major behind the Women's U.S. Open. It's now going to become the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. And so it's got a title sponsor, a 5-year commitment from KPMG, the big tax and accounting firm. It's got the funding and support of the PGA of America. It's going to have national broadcast TV exposure on the weekend on NBC. Now, there are some of the veteran players are very sad to see the name LPGA Championship going away and it becomes the Women's PGA Championship. But it does seem to be an elevation of the event. Part of what KPMG is going to do is on the Tuesday before the tournament, they're going to have a Women in Business Summit every year, sort of the way the Clinton Foundation has the Health Matters Summit before the Humana Tournament every year. So there's a lot of exciting stuff about it. Next year, it'll be played at Westchester Country Club in New York City.
So we're staying kind of close to Rochester. It's the same state.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like the fact that the PGA of America has stepped up to really support the women's game. There are women PGA of America members. So it's not a complete, you know, pushing away of the LPGA. And I understand at the same time, you know, to see the LPGA taken out of the title name. But then it does elevate with the PGA of America and KPMG. KPMG is huge with the Phil Mickelson and of course, Stacey Lewis, the number one player in the world on the women's side. A huge title sponsor for them and just stepping forward and taking over this one. I guess there's a little controversy and at the same time, there's the upside to it. Moving forward.
Mike Wann, the commissioner, has done a brilliant, brilliant job of bringing the tour back from a low of 23 tournaments in the depths of the recession back to 32 this year, 33 if you count the International Crown. He says now his two goals now are higher purses and network TV exposure. And he's taken a step. The Women's U.S. Open went to $4 million this year. It's going to go to $5 million next year. They're going to take the purse of the LPGA Championship. It's going to go from $2 million to $3.5 million. And the network exposure on NBC on the weekend is seen by Juan, and I agree with him on this, as a big step forward because while Golf Channel does a terrific job of televising the tour, you're sort of preaching to the choir when you're on Golf Channel. You're talking to people who are already golf fans, and you're much more likely to get that casual fan on a Saturday or Sunday who's just going around the dial and stumbles into their local NBC and starts to watch women's golf and says, hey, wow, this is a pretty cool product.
Yeah. Absolutely. Very cool. I was looking at some of the players who are stepping up and seeing Lexi Thompson at the top, that would be something too. I mean, we talk about Lydia Ko being the youngest ever to win a major, man or woman, if she does go through the weekend in the way she's playing. Lexi Thompson would win her second major. How in the record books, where would that rank?
Yeah, I mean, she would have to be the youngest to get two, because, you know, Morgan Pressel's got that record for the women as the youngest major winner, and she hasn't got a second one yet. You know, look at the top three people on the leaderboard going into today's round. It's Lincecum, MB Park, and Lexi Thompson. All three are major championship winners, and that tells you, again, that this has really been a year where the cream has risen to the top. I think Lexi is getting better with the putter. That was the weak club in her bag. Much like Michelle Wee had to figure out a way that worked for her, Lexi found out a way. She changed the angle of the way the club rides on the ground and has putted much more reliably.
One of my favorite stories this year is Mo Martin, and I understand she has a thumb injury. Do I have that?
Yeah, right? You know, Mo is when the LPGA got it, and this again shows you how fortune has smiled on that tour this year. When they get their only surprise winner of the year, the only winner to come sort of out of nowhere, it ends up being Mo Martin, who's an incredible story in her own right. She was on a Symetra tour for 6 years. She didn't get her card until she was 29 years old. She was a walk-on at UCLA, couldn't even make the 2004. National championship team there, and it might be the shortest hitter on tour. She's 156 in driving distance, and she hits the flagstick with the second shot on the par 5 18th at Royal Birkdale to win the Women's British Open. That's a pretty cool story.
And she paid for the roof of her grandpa's barn. She saved the farm. You know, I mean, that 400,000 plus. Winning that she managed to save the farm of her grandfather, or the ranch of her grandfather. I just think that's something, you know, Disney would have to dream up to make a movie. It's perfect.
Yeah, she comes from a very humble roots, and her father didn't have and she lost her father when she was 19 to a heart attack. But he didn't have enough money for her to get lessons, so he built a cage for her in the driveway, and she would hit balls in essentially a batting cage in the driveway, and that's the way she built a golf swing.
So many of our players are, you know, Mo Martin is still pretty close to the top of the leaderboard. She's doing okay, T7 starting today. And I'm not going to tell you what the scores are updated, because they're just starting to play, but Mo is still, well, I'll tell you, she's 2 under. She has an injured thumb and still playing well. But Michelle Wee, a chronic acute finger injury from too much practice and play is keeping her out for the next 6 weeks. You know, we don't.
Yeah, I think the good sign here is, if you remember back to 2007, when she tried to play through injury and had just a disastrous year. It ended up being, it was a disaster year for her public relations-wise and just in every possible sense. And she annoyed a lot of LPGA members at that time, because she wasn't a member of the tour. And it seems that part of the way that she's really, really, those 4.5 years at Stanford really matured Michelle. And I think this is part of, this is another indication of how much more grounded she is right now, that she's doing the right thing and not trying to play through injury this time.
You know, isn't Ron Cyrak amazing? He just remembers everything. You know, I say Michelle, he goes, yeah, back in 2007, remember how? You really are something. Executive editor.
I walked a lot of holes with her that year, believe me.
Executive editor, Golf World, senior writer, Golf Digest, author of Vision 54 Trilogy. Ron, Ryder Cup picks are coming up. Tiger Woods did the classiest thing he's done in a while. He said, "Nope, I'm not playing. Don't even, you know, don't think about me. I'm going to actually try to heal, get my game back maybe even." He didn't say that. Ryder Cup picks. So we got Bubba Watson. We got Jim Furyk. We got Jimmy Walker. We got Ricky Fowler. Matt Kuchar. Jordan Spieth, Phil Mickelson, Patrick Reed, Zach Johnson. I mean, some Bubba makes me scares me a little bit. Jim Furyk, Steady Eddie, Jimmy Walker, strong. Ricky Fowler playing amazing. Matt Kuchar's a little hurt. Jordan Spieth's a little off, but gee, you know, five top fives this year. Phil Mickelson, you know, he's always team. Patrick Reed, yeah, strong. Zach Johnson, okay. Now for the captain's picks, let's say Keegan Bradley, Brant Snedeker, Webb Simpson, Harris English, Ryan Moore. Are we going to go with those five as potentials?
Yeah, you know, I think that Keegan Bradley and Brant Snedeker have a good leg up. You know, Bradley was a very emotional partner with Phil Mickelson. And Snedeker can putt, and boy, you want that in there.
Exactly.
And then it's pretty wide. I mean, look, the next guy in the point standings is Duffner, and Duffner's another guy who's hurt right now. Kuchar's hurt right now. Dustin Johnson's gone right now, you know, and it's going to be interesting. Europe doesn't, no matter how many Ryder Cups Europe wins, they somehow manage to come in every time portraying themselves as the underdog. And I don't know how they're able to do that all the time, but they do. It's going to be hard this year because Europe has a really, really, really good team. You know, I mean, you just look at McIlroy, Stenson, Rose, Keimer, Garcia. Those guys are all playing great, great golf. I mean, they got guys like you know, you look for captain picks for them. You got Luke Donald, Poulter, Westwood, Molinari, the most interesting man in the world, Jimenez. All are potential to be in there. That's a very, very deep team. And the U.S. team's got a ton of question marks. Fowler, by far, is playing the best, I think, of the Americans right now. Mickelson will get up for it. He always does. But there's a lot of question marks for the Americans.
Yeah, but still, it's exciting. I don't want to say anything to jinx it, but I have a good feeling about how this team is going to come together. And just for the people who say, well, why doesn't Tiger Woods show up to show his support, even if he can't play? Well, for Tiger Woods to show up to show his support would be a huge distraction from everything that should be focused. And that would be the team, the U.S. Ryder Cup team. That's all we care about when it comes to Ryder Cup. Any final thoughts from you, Ron?
Well, just remember the last time that they played without Tiger Woods and the team, the U.S. won. And there's a way in which some people think that his absence sort of makes it easier for the other guys to be themselves and that his huge shadow isn't looming over them. So this could be interesting. I think Tom Watson is going to be a very good captain. I think one of the reasons they picked a 65-year-old guy is because he's not emotionally attached to any of these players, and he'll make hard decisions. If somebody's not playing well, he's going to sit them down, and he's not going to feel that obsession that American captains always have of playing everybody in equal amounts.
Excellent. You are awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure. Anytime, Daniel.
Excellent. And we'll be talking with Ron Cyrek in the future, and travel safe. We're going to take a moment to thank the people who make this show possible. We are proud to introduce our newest sponsor, Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, doesn't matter. Call Creative Plumbing. No job is too big or too small, because it's got to be done right, right? Call Creative Plumbing. Dr. Armand Chong, a great dentist, the director of the Hawaii TMJ Institute, dental director for 10 senior facilities. His name is Dr. Armand Kainoa Chong, 737-3525. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. create a most challenging course. But don't be afraid, just tee it forward. And remember, they're the new rules of golf, okay? They're called the relaxed rules. The ones that we've been playing by all this time when we're with our friends, not for our handicap, but for playing with our friends recreationally. It's an unforgettable round of golf at Poipu Bay Golf Course. Star protection for property threat, risk assessment. You know what you do? You get them on your property, and what they'll do is they'll tell you, you know, you're at risk right there. That's where you need protection for your home or for your business, whatever it is. You get them on your property, or maybe it's a concert you're putting on or a special event. like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection. It's what you need. They're here in Hawaii, of course, and in California. Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. And you'll get an additional, by the way, military appreciation never ends means it doesn't matter what month it is. You'll get an additional $750 off the special pricing that you'll find. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount. It's 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day. It's a perfect day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu. And Acura of Honolulu has their college graduate program. And for those of you off, you know, you're graduating in December. It's not the traditional time to graduate, but a lot of us do graduate in December. Grads, you get $500 towards your down payment and a guaranteed approval. You can buy your car without a cosigner. College graduate, you can establish credit. That's Acura of Honolulu. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2014.